Welcome to the podcast of Troy Brewer, a guitar playing, globe trotting, book writing, Bible thumping, star watching, radio TV hosting, church leading, Alamo saluting Texan, and drop dead sold out Jesus freak.
One of the things that God made me very aware of when I was a very young man, first got saved, I was 19, is that God is speaking through everything going on around us. And it's been a huge part of my walk. And I first realized it because my grandfather and I were sitting on my back porch. It was his back porch, and he was smoking his pipe. And he looked out and he said, we were talking about the Lord. And he said, Hoss. And I said, yes, sir. He said, do you see that tree out there? And I said, yes, sir. He said, that tree is the last one to lose its leaves in the fall. And it's always the first one to gain its leaves in the springtime. And then he blew a big smoke ring. And he said, what do you think God is saying to me about that? And I instantly knew that the Lord was speaking to my grandfather just through an event that happened in his yard that he observed every year. And I said, Papa, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And he said, look right here. And his Bible was sitting out there next to him. And he said, look right here. And he pointed to that scripture. He had actually just read that scripture. And his Bible was actually open to that scripture. And he said, I just got through reading that this morning. I said, well, you read it through that event that was going on as well. And he said, well, I sure did. And I was like, man, that is just so cool. So I want to show. So one of the things that I like to do is try and teach people, how do you see the Lord in things going on around you? Like, for example, there is a person that is staying out at my guest house right now. And there's always somebody in my guest house out at Third Stage Ranch. And it just so happens that the day before yesterday, one of my good friends and a ranch hand that actually works out there, he was down at the back and he called me and he said, Pastor Troy. And I said, what's up, man? And he said, you're not going to believe this, man, but I just caught a carrier pigeon and it was at the guest house. And I went, really? He said, yeah. And I said, well, is there a message? Is there a message on it? He said, no, but there's a place where the message goes. And I said, is there a number on it? And he said, yeah. And so we looked up the number, and the number is a message. Okay. And so we just went gang, 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 gang. And it comes from the American Pigeon Racing Organization or whatever. And we looked up the number on it, like, whoa. And so if that was a dream, what would that mean? And it has to do with my guest house, and it has to do with the person that is staying in the guest house. And I'm like, man, that is a word. Okay. You got to look that stuff up. So you have to be diligent in, number one, actually knowing, hey, this is something I need to look up. And then you can't be lazy and you have to look up things. There are sometimes in media, I will see something. I'll just go, oh man, there's a word from the Lord in that right there. I guarantee it. Boom. And recently we came across something that really got our attention. I want to show you this, guys. This is from Charlie Kirk, and he put this up, and it comes from Newsmax, and it says, after 55 years, January the 20th, 2023, will mark the first time since 1967 that no member of the Cheney family, the Clinton family, the McCain family, or the Bush family will hold elected offices in the federal government of the United States of America. First time in 55 years. We saw this and we looked at it. And then also too, I want you to look at all the numbers that are all over it. Guys, I want to just unpack this. And whenever this was first brought to our attention, guys, we looked at it, and Akip has done a ton of study on this, and like, okay, just the post itself was prophetic, much less that it's for the first time in 55 years that these four families have not had an elected place in Congress. First time in 55 years. And then also too, the numbers of the post, the actual date that it was posted on, the date of the next Congress, which is January 20th of 2023. And I have to just tell you, January 20th is a huge day for me It means so much. And why? Because of Romans 1:20. Romans 1:20 is like one of my all-time favorite scriptures in the Word of God. And it has to do exactly with what we're talking. Plus, yesterday, we were discussing this yesterday on the prophetic life, is that in the year 2020, when we had our big conference at the Tarrant County Convention Center in downtown Fort Worth, Chuck Pierce was preaching that night, and it was January the 20th. It was 1:20, right? And he was talking about there is something coming into America, and it is big, 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 and it is scary, 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 scary. And God is going to have, there's going to be a big separation and a big sifting that comes through this. And he was talking about it and just said, honestly, he said, it's like the air leaves the room when God starts talking to me about this. It's like a scary event. And the Lord is saying, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. That was on January the 20th. And if you go back and if you look, when did coronavirus enter this nation? On January the 20th in King County, Washington. King County, Washington. So it's like, it's the coronavirus, and it enters in King County. King County, Washington was actually renamed King County after Martin Luther King Jr. And you know what day that was? It was Martin Luther King Jr. Day. It sure as heck was. And like, what? Yeah, I have a dream, right? It's a dream killer. And it comes in with a crown. And if you don't think that God is speaking through that, you know, you're on religious crack. Because God Almighty is declaring a word through that. So just connecting the dots and then actually looking. So you got to look up. You got to do the research. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out the matter, right? Man, you have to be willing to actually search it out. So whenever we do all kinds of research, we're looking at all these kinds of things and believing that there's going to be some kind of significance, supernatural significance or kingdom significance in the midst of it. And this is what you got to do with your life. You really have to look around and go, okay, what is God speaking through this? And am I willing to go after it? Friends, can I tell you that God blesses pursuit? God blesses pursuit. Man, he blesses you whenever you just go after the thing. So 23 in the Bible. 23 in the Bible is a very significant number. And I'm thinking of a money scenario right now that has 23 in it. And it just now occurred to me. Somebody asked me a question, and it's a personal thing of somebody else. So I'm not going to say what it is, but it's got 23 all over it. And I just now realized that. Oh, right on. 23 means death. That's what 23 means. Like what? How in the world could 23 mean death? Well, in Romans chapter 1, there are 23 things listed that are worthy of death. 23 things in Romans chapter 1. Here's something very interesting is that the Quran was written over a period of 23 years. How about them apples? Imagine that, right? There's this 23 enigma that's in literature and also in history, how that the number 23 represents death and is connected to what they call the law of fives. Now, I didn't know about this law of five until today. Kip was telling me about this. I'm like, that's odd and that's strange because I know the law of threes. And it's like, okay, if this happens, it's going to happen. It's going to happen two more times, and then you're typically done with it. But there are people that are like the law of five. So here's something interesting that we just discovered today, and we didn't have any idea of this. But in the Luciferian world and in the demonic world, they are terrified of the number five, and they're like, number five represents death. Well, actually, the number five represents the grace of God, which is life to us. And they hate the grace of God. So it literally means death in the Luciferian world. That's very, very interesting to me. So 23 in scripture. The 23rd time that Noah is mentioned is Genesis 7:23. It says, thus he blotted out every living thing that was upon the face of the land. Whoa, that's the 23rd time he's mentioned. The 23rd time that Jacob is mentioned is Genesis 27:42. He says, behold, your brother Esau is consoling himself concerning you by planning to kill you. That's what he says. And that is Genesis 27:42, the 23rd time Jacob is mentioned. The 23rd time that Israel is mentioned, he's given Joseph instructions where to bury him. And then he dies. Genesis 47, he says, swear to me. And he swore to him. So Israel bowed himself on the head of the bed. Yep, that's all of that. 23rd time that Joshua is mentioned is connected to the death of Moses, and that's Deuteronomy 31, verse 14. In Luke 23:23. But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he must be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. It's the voice, crucify him, crucify him. Yep, that's crazy cool. I love, I have a whole chapter in my book, Numbers That Preach, on the number 23. And one of the things that I list in my book is in the number 23 is that Bonnie and Clyde died on February the 23rd, right? And it's funny because she's famous for writing that poem, and that at the very end of it, it's death for Bonnie and Clyde. That's how it ends. It says it's death for Bonnie and Clyde. And then they were actually ambushed and shot to pieces by Frank Hamer, who's one of my great heroes, Texas Ranger Frank Hamer. And so and that was on the 23rd. And so there's lots of 23s that are associated with death or the finality of something. I love that. Military time is 23. And 2300 is 11 p.m. It's the 11th hour. I love that. So the date of the opening of the next Congress, if you guys saw that, is 1/20 and 2023. So it's another 23, right? So this next year, as we get into the 23rd year, this next year, we need to understand the difference between life and death. We need to not be a part of the things that are dead and to come out of the things that are dead. And because we're coming into the year 23. We're coming into the 23rd year. Okay, so that's going to happen on January the 20th. And, one represents unity. 20, right? So, you got 2020, hindsight, clear, perfect vision, forward. So we know what the number 20 means. It means expectancy, right? That's what the number 20 means. And it has to do with actually being able to know, I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I know God's character, and I know God's character is going to be made manifest in these things. Right on. Now, Romans 1:20, as I was talking about earlier, is definitely one of my top 10 favorite Bible verses. And it's a very strange Bible verse in that the language is weird in it. When I was a young man and started studying this, I actually was like, okay, I got to know what this means. And I went to a lot of people and just said, what does this mean, man? And they could quote it, but they really didn't know what it means. It literally means God is speaking through everything around you. And so there's no excuse not to hear God speak. So for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, right? Even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. So they are without excuse. Like you can literally come to the knowledge of the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit by simply paying attention to what's going on around you. And like, what? Like, yes. That gives me great hope too, man, for people throughout the centuries that didn't have the gospel preached to them. And I believe that that's Matthew 25. Jesus is going to show up and everybody's going to think that they're in trouble. And they're going to say, hey, we never did anything, for you or to you. We never served you in any way. He says, no, when you did that unto the least of these, you were doing that unto me. That was me you were partnering with. And they're going to be like, whoa. And it's going to be like whenever Jesus shows up to the Jews and Joseph is revealed to his brethren. Yeah, all that. It's going to be so much like whenever Jesus was on the road to, where was he on the road to with the two guys? Emmaus, right on. When he was on the road to Emmaus. And then it's like, dude, we should have known it was him. Oh my gosh, it was him. That was him the whole time. There's going to be a lot of that. Yeah, there's going to be a whole lot of that. And I really do like that. So Romans 1:20 is kind of the benchmark of how God prophetically speaks through everything going on around us and revealing incredible deep truth through the mundane and everyday things that you and I see. And that's 1:20. So the year is 2023. Guys, I want to show you some 2023 scriptures. Proverbs 20:23, diverse weights are an abomination to the Lord and dishonest scales are not good. God hates whenever scales lie. He wants things measured correctly, and he wants it. He wants everybody to get a fair shake, and he hates it. That's why I think that, you know, he hates my scale when I get on it, because there's no way that that can be true. God, I got on it this morning. King Jesus. All right. Exodus 20, verse 23. You shall not make anything to be with me gods of silver or gods of gold. You shall not make for yourselves. How about them apples? Leviticus 20, 23. And you shall not walk in the statutes of the nation, which I am casting out before you, for they commit all these things, and therefore I abhor them. Leviticus 20, 23. He's like, do not go by their culture. Don't do it. And you know what? Their laws are a joke. Do not participate in their systems. Do not do that. So for the first time in 55 years, these families will not be in power. Five is grace in Hebrew. Five is death to Luciferians, the opposite of God's word. They call good evil and evil good. 55, so in their case, is double death. It's like that just totally cracks me up. I can't tell you how much I like that. Okay. 29 mountains, number five, also mountains, of course, are places of worship or places of influence, all those kinds of things. And then five is literally death to the Luciferians, which cracks me up. And so the 295th verse of the Old Testament, this is another way that we look up things. Like, let's just see if that just goes with what the message of this thing is. It's Genesis 11, 28, and it says, and Haran died before his father Terah in his native land in Ur of the Chaldeans. Chaldeans. So Haran was Abraham's brother, and is also Lot's father. Dying before your father was considered a curse. Ur of the Chaldeans, which are known for astrology, witchcraft, sorcery, all those kinds of abominations. Boom, there you go. I thought it's also cool too, if you're just going to continue to look up stuff, look up, you know, Charlie Kirk. So the word Charlie literally means free man, and Kirk means church. It's a Scottish word for church. Like, well, oh, the church of the free man, people set free. You know, his name is prophetic. So again, you can do this literally with anything going on around you and look and see what is, but are you willing to know the word? Are you willing to care what the Holy Spirit's saying? Are you willing to look up scriptures? Are you willing to do that? And then are you willing to connect the dots and ask for the counsel of the Lord? That's a big, big, big deal to me. So So the fight is not about left or right, Democrat or Republican. The fight is about good versus evil, heaven versus hell, America and freedom versus socialism, communism, and a global movement, the people of God versus a Luciferian thing. That's what it's all about. You know, man, this morning, I told Leanne, I said, hey, I want you to stop at Walgreens in here and I want to run in here. And she said, no. And I said, why? And she said, because Troy, Walgreens is all about having a trans section to help kids do their trans. And I'm like, no, it's not. And dude, I started looking it up and I was like, what in the heck? In the name of healthcare, we want to do all this? And it's like some knucklehead at the top of that chain is making that kind of decisions. And I know a lot of people that work for Walgreens. And it's like, man, those are good people. And they want an actual, no, like, hey, no, we want to be there to help you trans your child. We want to be there to help you do that. King Jesus. Yeah, Walmart now has sex toys in it. Somebody was telling me that the other day. Just full-blown sex toys in Walmart. Like, if you don't think that these knuckleheads want to sexualize your families and destroy your lives, you're just wrong. You know, you're just totally wrong. And so I'm just like, man, like, oh my gosh. And I was so disappointed, you know, to hear that. And I'm so, you know, man, we went to Disney World a few years ago, my first time to ever go to Disney World. And I mean, there was a straight up place there that, it had, you know, there's Mickey Mouse and there's Minnie Mouse and there's all this and all these lines of kids. And there was a bunch of drag queens standing right there beside him, getting their pictures taken with Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse. I'm like, look at that. And why in the world would those parents line their kids up to go have their kids taken with those sexual deviants? And if you don't think that it's turning those men on to act like women and play with your kids, what's wrong with you? You know, what is that? You know, yeah, exactly right. You're not the cool mom. You know, like, well, I'm going to be cool and I'm going to let a man who sexually and publicly acts like a woman and dresses like a woman, play with my kids. Yeah, like that's the equivalent of sending your kids to Michael Jackson's house. And like, why would you do that? Why would you do that? Because you want to be cool. That's why. Well, I want to just tell you this, guys. We have to know the Word of God. We got to be able to look. We got to be able to read. We got to be able to see and to hear God speak through everything going on around us. Guys, I have a whole bunch more of this, a ton more that goes with all this. I'm 30 minutes into this, and I also have a ton of scripture that goes with all this. We went through and we were looking at the verses because the redeemed version of the number 23, because there's a non-redeemed version and there's a redeemed version of every numeric value. Like the number 9 represents judgment if it's not redeemed, and judgment all the way through the Bible, 9 people stoned to death, for example, and things like that. 9 biblical sieges of Jerusalem, 9 drunks in the Bible. Where are the other 9? Those kinds of 9s, right? Judgment. Right, judgment. And see, and by the way, I'm just wondering, is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st, 6th, Samuel? No, I was wondering if Judges was the 9th book.
Almost.
Like, oh, I never thought about that. That's kind of cool. But I can tell you that there's 9 Supreme Court judges. But on the redeemed side of it, 9 represents fruit bearing.
Yep.
You know? And it represents, you know, like the 9 fruit of the Holy Spirit. It takes 9 months to have a baby, right? So yeah. It represents fruit bearing. That's what it means. Just exactly like that, the number 23, in the negative or in the non-redeemed form, it represents death. But in the positive or the redeemed form of it, it actually represents resurrection.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Like, yeah, it does. Check this out, because this is really cool. There's... And you're, you know, what about this? 23andMe.
Okay.
23andMe, right? Looking at your DNA. Yeah. So human cells have 23 pairs of chromosomes. Okay. Sex cells have 23 chromosomes in it. The average human biorhythm is 23 days. It takes 23 days for your blood to circulate fully throughout your human body. So the bottom line is that it represents life, and it represents new life or resurrection life. Check this out. The 23rd verse in the Old Testament says, so the evening and the morning were the 5th day.
Wow.
That's cool to me. Wow. So the evening and the morning were the 5th day, and that's Genesis 1:23. And you know what? The Hebrew tradition is that God literally saying us into existence. And I know that there's a verse in the book of Job where God asked Job, where were you when God created everything? And then it says, and the sons of God sang with me.
Yeah.
Remember that?
That's good. And I love that.
The sons of God. So it was the, you can call that the angelic realm, but it's the heavenly realm. The beings that he had created within the heavenly realm, his heavenly family, before he created his earthly family. God stands on the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor and the needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. They do not know, nor they understand. They walk about in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are unstable. And I said, you are gods, and all of your children, all of you are children of the Most High. But you shall now die like men, and you shall fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all the nations.
Wow.
I love Psalms 82. And when it says that God showed up among the gods, he's not among people. He's among beings that he created that were little g gods. And and I mean, he did. And all these guys were in control and had dominion over certain parts of the world. And who knows, maybe planets, who knows, whatever. And they did. And God said, you know what? Here on this planet, I hate how you hate these people.
Yeah.
And I hate how you will not defend the poor or the fatherless. You won't do justice. You won't deliver them. And these people are sacrificing to you, knuckleheads, and you're fallen state, and I'm showing up and I'm in this mess. And they showed up and said, you guys are going to die. You're literally going to be disembodied. And, you know, so Psalms 82 is a big trip, and it actually talks about how things are governed and how things are ran in the spirit. And that's why, guys, we need to be people who bring the kingdom. And that's why we need to have dominion. And I will not serve any other god. They can all kiss my grits, every single one of them. They're the enemies of Yahweh. They are the enemies of King Jesus. He is the Most High God. He is one altogether beautiful, and he's the creator of all these other gods. And I'll be dipped if I'm going to serve them or thank them or speak to them or partner with them in any way whatsoever. But there is a huge rise of their power that is taking place right now. And the world will serve any god for their own selfish ways, and they think that by serving these gods, they're going to have some kind of advantage. And I want to just tell you, they're supernatural rapists is all they are.
Wow.
And why in the world you would serve any of those fallen beings is beyond me. It's just like, you guys are crazy. So yeah, no, I'm all about Psalms 82. God shows up in the congregation of the mighty among all these other gods. Pastor Troy, aren't you, you're not telling me you're polytheistic, are you? I'm not polytheistic in that there is one true God. I believe in one God. The Lord your God is one. There's one God. And he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But there is one God, and there is none other. But I believe that he created other beings that are not human. What's that? Well, those are all angels. They're not all angels. Right. The watchers are not angels. The sons of God are not angels. Those are angels. And no, there's a realm of created beings that God Almighty created that we don't have a respect for in the Western world, because we see everything as angels and demons, which is fine, which I'm just telling you is fine. There's nothing wrong with that in the sense of your walk with God. But it also is a profound ignorance of how spiritual warfare actually works. And this is the Bible.
Yep.
And the Greeks and the Romans, that's their history. All of those demigods and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's all that. And I mean, that's what the Bible says in the book. There were men of renown in those days. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, these half-breed heavenly beings and earthly beings, you know, and they manifest in the form of Nephilim. They manifest in the form of giants. They manifest in the form of giant creatures, giant plants, giant fish, all kinds of stuff. Like, why? Because they hate the creation, because they hate the creator, and they want their own creation to serve them as God. Mm. That's what they want. And they mess with the DNA of everything. And people willingly go along with it and have throughout the centuries and have made sacrifices to all these other gods. And they were not imaginary. They're real beings. All these other gods are actually real beings, but they were created by Father God to rule and to have dominion in the midst of his created universe. And they got mad when they saw this earthly bunch, and they saw how much the Father loved us. They went, that ain't going to work. And I mean, there was one of those beings was actually in the garden. And his name, you know, and he was more subtle than all the other creatures. I mean, you could talk to animals. They could literally talk to, you know, Adam and Eve could literally talk to animals, and it was no big deal. Leanna was pointing out, you guys are going to love this, ladies. Leanna and I was doing a Bible study the night before last. She just got through doing a big conference down in the Houston area. And she was saying, Troy, you know, we went over the whole Genesis story of Adam and Eve again. And literally, I never really realized that the Bible implies that Adam was right there beside Eve while Eve was being tempted. He just wasn't listening.
Mm.
And what's real, and like, you know, you girls are like, well, that makes sense to me. You know, liberal knucklehead, you know, he ain't listening. But it also too implies this too, that the serpent did not have the influence on Adam. Mm. It was Eve that had the influence on Adam. And Leanna and I was talking about that so much. And she's like, Troy, you've got to be listening, and you are responsible for hearing conversations that are coming into our lives. And you just can't turn all that over to me. You know, it's, you know, I'm not just going to dump all the bills on Leanna and tell her, you pay all the bills, you do the checkbook, you do absolutely everything. I don't want nothing to do with any of that. Boom. You can just have all that. I have to take on some kind of responsibility in making sure that the conversations that come into our marriage and into our life, that I'm aware of that. And Leanna doesn't bear the brunt of all that, right? And it's very easy for men to just leave all that stuff and call it all emotional stuff and just go, oh, that's just how she is, whatever. No, man, she's under tons of pressure because she's hearing conversations that you're not. And she's hearing things that you're not. And she's liable to get caught on a bad day, just like Eve was caught on a bad day. And then her influence towards him is not what it's supposed to be. Because he'll go, okay, you know, whatever you want, baby, I'm good. And so she's really not the bad guy in that situation. They're both the bad guys in that situation because they're both not doing their job. And I was like, wow, we both went over that. And that sounds really basic and fundamental, but it had a profound effect on me this last week. He should have killed that snake for ever speaking to his wife. Yeah, man, he was out to lunch somehow. He was absolutely unaware of the entire thing that Eve was dealing with. He was totally 100% unaware of all of it. Wow. And he was right there with her the whole time and was clueless. And it's so easy for us as dudes to be like that and to just kind of check out and to think about something else and to be a part of those kinds of things. Nope, absolutely. Yep. Hey, ladies, don't talk to snakes.
It's good.
Hallelujah. Hey guys, run the snakes out of your wives' lives.
Yeah.
Run them off. Get those snakes out of that girl's life. And go, hey, I just saw a snake coming after you. You know what? That's not for you to deal with. That's for me to deal with. That's not for you to deal with. I'm going to defend you and I'm going to honor you and I'm going to help you in this and I will not be out to lunch.